Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. I'm with Personhood Colorado, and I'm here to help.
All right, Doug, great to see you in studio. Thank you, by the way, for making it here so often in the last few months, because with the personhood battle raging all around us, it's just been tremendously helpful.
Well, Bob, we're coming down to the home stretch. We're rounding third and headed for home, as I like to say.
In Colorado, we are. Now, the Secretary of State's office, some people say that they're against us.
No way.
Remember, Mike Kaufman was totally pro-life.
Mike Kaufman, you know what? I actually voted for him, the first politician I voted for since 1994.
Wow.
Because he was so nice to us.
No exceptions, Mike.
No exceptions, Mike.
And he won. He's now a U.S. congressman.
That's right.
In Washington, D.C., voted against health reform.
And he's from my district.
Cool.
Yeah.
But Mike was pro-life. Right now, the Secretary of State, they're not.
They're not. We assume they're not.
And so they've done something to the personhood campaign that some people might think is discouraging.
What have they done?
Here's what they did. They shaved a few days off of the deadline.
Of a few days? A few being somewhere between 3 and 5?
Yeah. They contacted the personhood campaign and said, we've miscalculated the deadline, and they pushed it up.
So a clerical error now costs 3 days.
Clerical error costs 3-4 days. And remember, everybody's got to get their signatures in early enough for the campaign to process those signatures, what has to be done in-house, and then to get them to the Secretary of State's office. So getting signatures in right now is crucial.
Critical.
Getting signatures in and getting blank petitions to maybe get another dozen or 100 signatures before the new deadline now, which is February 12th.
Right. So we're going to be doing that at the March for Life. We're going to be collecting petitions, whether you've got it full or it's half full or it's just a quarter full. We want to turn those in so we can get an accurate count.
Yeah.
And now I've been calling churches today, yesterday, I've been calling churches as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And I've been telling them basically February 7th is the final Sunday before our deadline, because we're going to need some administrative time.
Mm-hmm.
So the Secretary of State hasn't really affected that. February 7th is really the final Sunday to circulate petitions for Petition for Life Sunday, which your church could do if you're listening, whether you're a pastor or whether you just attend a church that has not yet circulated the petition. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of time. We can get a petition to you, and you can circulate in your church, host a Petition for Life Sunday.
For example, a guy named John came here to the Bob and Your Life studio because he hears us talk about this.
Yeah.
And he said, Bob, I go to a Church of Christ, and I started getting signatures, and here I got 84 signatures, and this is notarized. What do I do with this? And I said, well, let's get it to the campaign.
Yeah.
And so you could get it to Colorado Right to Life, or you get it to Personhood Colorado. So there's one church, 84 signatures.
84 signatures.
And two of the largest churches in Denver, their senior pastors, will be at the March for Life Friday at noon on the west steps of the Capitol.
Amen.
That's exciting.
Yes, it's going to be phenomenal.
So there's a lot to do here in Colorado, but should we talk through the news first?
You know, I heard our ad for the Colorado March to Life. I heard it this morning on Glenn Beck's show. I heard it on Tom Martino's show.
I heard it on Mike Rosen's show yesterday. These are KOA
K-How.
And K-How shows. Clear Channel, the big AM stations, and then the big Christian radio stations, the most powerful is KLTT.
And what KLTT has been able to do for us is far beyond anything we could have even hoped. Mm-hmm. But we're so thankful for KLTT being involved.
That's right. So all the Christian radio stations are helping out.
Yes.
KLTT is doing the lion's share. Well, we don't want to diss any of the
others. No, we don't. But KLTT,
they're all doing a great job.
They have allowed us.
Even Carcass.
Yeah.
I mean, care, chaos. Sorry.
All of the Christian radio stations have allowed us to stay within our budget and basically blanket the Christian media with promotions, and we just thank God and praise God for them.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And let me tell you some inside baseball here. There's a local TV station that's run by LaCie Broadcasting, Channel 53. We have asked them if they would consider airing the documentary about the Black Holocaust through abortion. It's called Ma'afa 21.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
Very powerful, made by our dear friend Mark Crutcher at Life Dynamics. It's aired in black churches around the country.
Yeah.
This would be perhaps the first major airing on a major full-power broadcast, cable, satellite, TV station. It would be a two-hour special event.
Wow.
During Black History Month, Ma'afa 21. And Walter Hoy, who's the sponsor of California's Personhood Amendment, along with Lila Rose.
Yeah.
Walter's a black pastor, one of my, you know, top three heroes in the country.
Awesome guy.
And Walter is doing everything he can to get Ma'afa 21, M-A-A-F-A 21, shown to black pastors and in black churches because they see the truth of the slaughter of black children by Planned Parenthood, and it enrages them, where up to now, they're pro-choice.
Yeah.
They're pro-choice. And they support politicians who support killing black kids, even wildly disproportionately.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not for equal opportunity.
I'm not for killing of any kids.
Abortion, kill one white with one black, and then you're okay.
No, but any way we can use the facts to our benefit to motivate any group of people,
yeah,
we want to use those facts. And whether Planned Parenthood wants to admit it or not, they disproportionately kill black children.
Yeah, the new huge abortion clinic in that lesbian town in Texas.
The formerly great city of Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they have a massive abortion facility there in a black neighborhood.
Yeah.
They built Planned Parenthood's mega killing center here in Denver in Hispanic and black neighborhood.
Yeah, they're notorious for that.
Yeah, Will Duffy was involved in stopping Planned Parenthood out in Oregon, was it? In Portland? They were building, and they got the general contractor fired.
Yeah.
With the Collaborators Project, and that was on Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, unbelievable.
All right.
So come on out to the March for Life. It's going to be phenomenal. We've got tremendous speakers. It'll be great fellowship. We need your petitions. It's this Friday, just a couple days from now.
This Friday, and there's an early press conference when Eduardo Verástegui is going to talk to the media, and he's a megastar in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
He's broken through to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
His film, Bella, won the top Toronto Film Festival prize. And he's going to be here for the press conference. And guess who we heard from immediately? They're going to come is the Hispanic TV station.
All right.
Yeah.
Univision.
Yeah, Telemundo.
Telemundo, Univision.
In America del Sur, 20 países.
That's awesome. So Eduardo Verástegui is going to do a press conference at 9. We've got the
That might be picked up nationwide.
Could go all over the Hispanic media.
Just like our DNC, world's largest protest sign. DNC destroys unborn children, the Democrats. That was picked up by Telemundo, went all over the world.
Awesome.
So this might go all over the world. And the local media, they're a bit slow on the uptake, but they might be there too.
They'll catch up.
Right.
So press conference at 9. And then we've got a great young band from Colorado, a band called Without Shoes, going to be opening for Tony Funderburk. That's going to be phenomenal.
Open-toed shoes?
No,
what?
No, they're opening for Tony.
The band is going to play Without Shoes?
No, the band is called Without Shoes.
Oh, and they're opening for Tony Funderburk.
They're opening for Tony Funderburk. They'll be starting around 11:30 with praise and worship.
Praise God.
And then we'll just have some great speakers, some great fellowship. So bring your petitions out to the March for Life this Friday at noon at the Capitol and pick up some new petitions.
All right. And guess why it's so thrilling to have a Mexican mega movie star here in Denver, where personhood was launched, the modern personhood movement, when we got on the ballot in 2008? Because in Mexico, there are now 17 states in Mexico with personhood legislation.
Really?
And their legislation in some of their states, it's almost identical. Of course, translate it into Espanol.
Well, let's hope so.
But for example, our personhood language last time around, that the right to life begins at fertilization, all that, that's almost verbatim what they have now in Mexico.
Wow.
So they're being influenced by Personhood USA, by Judy Brown, American Life League, by Eduardo Verástegui. So this is not only a national movement This is now also international, with Mexican states coming on board to protect the child in the womb. And their language says that from that moment when the child first begins his biological development,
yeah,
from that moment, he has all the rights of a person protected by law.
Amen. So we'll take it from Colorado. We'll take it to Mississippi. We'll take it to California. We'll take it to Jalisco.
Ireland, Poland.
England.
Jalisco. Where?
Jalisco. It's a state in Mexico.
Oh, Jalisco.
That was a little geography test to your public school education.
I like Puerto Peñasco.
Okay. We'll go there, too.
All right.
We'll go to all of them.
There'll be an excuse to go to these places.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as they have some beaches, I'll go.
Okay.
And even if they don't, I'll go for personhood. All right. Now, let's talk a little bit of news.
Little bit of news.
Haiti is in the news. The devastation down there is just horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. I've got.
And Ann Coulter was saying that Pat Robertson, everything he said was perfectly reasonable.
Really? Ann Coulter said that?
Yeah.
That's actually surprising to me, because despite anything I think about Ann Coulter, I thought she was intelligent. That was the one thing I thought she was intelligent.
She's an apologist. She defends. I mean, Mitt Romney supports homosexual marriage, authorizes tax-funded elective abortions, and promotes government health care, and she endorses him.
Yeah.
For president. So mm-hmm. She's an apologist for what masquerades as some conservative right.
So do you think it's just all for effect with Ann? Because, you know, the left has accused her of that for years, that she really has no fundamental core beliefs, that she's willing to be an apologist for whoever is the right-wing of the day.
Yeah, well, a week ago she wrote that tremendous column about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
She said something like it's the best deal in the universe.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Grace and all that, right?
Yeah.
Salvation.
Bob in Your Life, brought to you by God, maker of heaven and earth and other fine products.
I love that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But no, her column was fabulous.
So she does have some core beliefs, the most important core beliefs.
She does, but she's all over the map.
Anyway.
You could tell her commitment lies in partisan politics.
Yeah.
So she comes down on any issue, how it will influence partisan politics. And basically, her life slogan is, my mass murderer is better than your mass murderer. That's it.
Especially regarding Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
I don't know of any Democrats who've signed legislation for $50 copay abortion. I just don't know that. Maybe there are some.
Well, the newest U.S. Senator. Oh, Democrats?
Democrats.
Oh, governor? Democrat governors?
Democrat. Well, governor, anybody.
Well, all the state legislators who voted for Romney Care, they all did that, including the newest senator from the state of Massachusetts.
Now, Romney, the legislature passed that, so he really had no choice but to sign it.
Oh, no. He line item vetoed it 8 times.
Oh, he did.
He crafted that, him and his team. So it's called Romney Care.
Yeah. And he left the abortion.
It's his signature. Oh, well, here's what he did. He appointed a board. He said, I had nothing to do with the fact that it paid for abortion.
That's what I heard from.
Well, this whole battle right now, he also had nothing to do with making sure it wouldn't. Because then he appointed a board, and the board said, well, of course it's going to cover abortion, and it's going to give you $50 copay abortions, and on and on.
Mm.
So this is his board.
Mitt's fingerprints are all over that thing.
All over tax-funded abortion.
Okay, well, thank you to the Republican Party.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I want to go back to Haiti, though, because there has been a tragedy of epic proportion. By the way, I'm a little upset at some of the secular networks who call this a biblical disaster.
Yeah, and an act of God. I don't like the insurance industry calling this stuff an act of God. We criticized the United Way years ago. We contacted their headquarters.
Yeah.
With an ad campaign they had running. They said, how do you follow? They showed all these tragedies, earthquakes, yeah, floods, mm-hmm, fires. They said, how do you follow an act of God
with an
act of man? Give to the United Way.
I remember.
So
that.
We called up, blasted them. We're on TV. We're on radio. We're all over the country. We said, you know, you guys are saying that the United Way is better than God. God is the bad guy, and you guys are the good guy. And they were embarrassed, and they stopped that campaign, and we've never heard it since in 15 years.
Great. Good work.
See
good
that? Work. One job.
Well, it annoys me that the heathen television networks, they only believe in God for the bad things that happen.
Right.
It's just bizarre to me.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't mention or give any respect to God for anything regarding his creation and the good things.
And, Doug, we debated the age of the earth in Denver with the president of the Geological Physical Society, the Geophysical, U.S. Geophysical Society, the president.
Okay.
And I got to debate him in front of a group of 100 people at a church downtown, and we gave this extraordinary evidence that the earth is young, not billions of years old. Mm-hmm. And after the debate, he said to me, he said, you know, if you're right and the earth is young, then we scientists should be giving governments more intensive warnings about possible future earthquakes. And I said, that's exactly what you should be doing, John, exactly. And so then we have the tsunami in Southeast Asia.
Which was based on an earthquake.
Right, and we have the earthquakes in, what, in Italy and in...
And in Iran.
Pakistan and Iran, in Haiti.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a 7.0 earthquake in San Francisco.
Yeah.
How many people died in that? Not 100,000.
No, I think it was around 980.
900.
Yeah.
And, of course, our building code is better here.
Even in San Francisco,
Even in San Francisco. So, you know what causes widespread poverty and then which doesn't fare well when there's a natural disaster?
Let me guess. It's when the people make a pact with Satan.
Well, that doesn't help matters. But for Pat Robertson to say that's why this earthquake happened, if no one, you know, the research director for American Right to Life, Daryl Burkey, he's on record saying if no one lived in Haiti, this earthquake still would have happened.
Now, that's true.
Of course it's true. It's geophysics.
Yeah.
But we have...
What is it that makes 200,000 die in Haiti and only 900 in San Francisco, virtually the same seismic activity?
Well, poverty, widespread poverty, is caused primarily by bad government and bad religion.
Yeah, now that,
bad government and bad religion. So when your worldview is broken, you'll have crime epidemics.
Right.
And you'll have poverty. And it's really hard to change that. Now, human beings are resourceful, so if the government passes a law that hinders our economic activity, a lot of us work harder.
Yeah, we do.
So we do tend to overcome it, but at some point when your religion is superstition and your government is oppressive to freedom and economic activity, then you have widespread poverty, and that's what they have there. And sadly, political correctness doesn't understand how we've destroyed the whole continent of Africa with foreign aid. Mm. They don't get that. Mm. And they don't care enough about hundreds of millions of black people in Africa to try to acknowledge and fix it. They don't care.
Even though it's fairly obvious at this point.
Fairly obvious.
All right, now I want to talk about miracles in Haiti.
Miracles in Haiti.
I've got a story about a Catholic missionary from Connecticut. He was trapped under a building, apparently, there in Haiti for 10 hours.
Wow. I mean, that's hard to comprehend. That's hard to imagine, right?
Yeah.
That kind of crisis.
Terrifying. Well, he says a series of miracles allowed him to survive.
Oh.
The first miracle, according to this missionary, was that a 2x4 miraculously created an air pocket after the concrete collapsed.
Yeah.
A 2x4 somehow created an air pocket so that he was able to not only not be crushed, but he had a way out to air there, okay? And
so there was a series of miracles.
Well, the 2x4, as far as I can tell from the story, that's the only – well, there's another miracle. He says their yells, him and another person were screaming and yelling for 10 hours. Their yells eventually brought the attention of a guard who got two other men, and they dug them out of the rubble.
Okay.
That was a miracle as well.
All right. So now a biblical miracle would be if the debris rose up into the air and dissipated into the atmosphere and they saw the clear sky above them.
That would be a miracle.
That would be a biblical miracle.
Right. That's a biblical miracle.
Remember the flight over the Hudson that landed and people said it was a miracle, and Bob and you're live. We said that was not a miracle.
Yeah.
And the captain came on and he said, you know, it was the result of good training.
Great. I just watched a documentary on that over this past weekend. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
That guy, that pilot had to do so many things right.
Yeah.
He had to do 50 or 60 things absolutely correctly for that plane not to come apart.
So Christians like to say when a plane crashes and people survive, it's a miracle. But when the plane crashes and a child gets burned half to death and he's in pain and 2 days later he dies with his lungs seared, they don't say, well, that was a miracle at that point.
No, they leave the miracle talk aside at that
right.
point.
Right. So the miracles in the Bible, even God's enemies acknowledge they were miracles.
Undeniable.
Undeniable. A man is born blind. He's 40 years old. And then Jesus comes and he heals him. And those who hated Jesus said, well, the fact that he was born blind, nobody could dispute that. And nobody could dispute that he now can see, but we hate this Jesus guy anyway.
Right.
That's a miracle when the enemies of God acknowledge it's a miracle.
Mm.
Like
yeah.
Pharaoh. So if a plane comes down and it crash lands and some people, one guy survives, it's not a miracle.
No, it's not a miracle.
Now, if it came straight down,
yeah.
straight down,
mm-hmm.
say it, 1,200 miles an hour,
I'm
straight down
okay.
into the ground,
right.
and the plane practically vaporizes, and then all the people are sitting on the lawn. They all survive.
Now, that's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
Okay. Now...
So why do Christians think they're doing God a favor by claiming if a horse gets pregnant, that's not a miracle?
No.
That's how God made horses to reproduce. So not everything, if somebody burps, it's not a miracle. People say everything is a miracle. Everything is not a miracle.
Yeah. What I got a kick out of is these fellas yelled for 10 hours, and a guard and two other men came and helped dig them out. And so, you know, it's possible here that this guard and these two other men, because the Spirit of God exists in the world, we're able to care about our neighbors.
Amen.
So we could attribute this to God to some degree in that because God gave us humanity and some semblance of concern for our neighbor, these three men dug this poor guy out of this rubble.
Amen.
So let's give God credit for that, for what
Praise
he's given
the
us.
Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Not for the 2x4 miraculously appearing and creating an air pocket.
No. Because my guess is if we got a couple of physicists down there, they could tell us exactly why and how that 2x4
ended up right where it was.
Right where it needed to be to support 4 tons of concrete.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then the tragedy is all the people who lost children.
Yeah. Where's their miracle?
Say, so you're telling me that God micromanaged this and decided for my child to be crushed to death and for you to have this otherworld experience with a 2x4 miracle.
I think most Christians don't think through the implications of that when they start attributing miracles left and right.
They don't.
You know, and it's just sad.
Yeah.
All right, now I want to move on. If we could go out to California, Bob, basically the equivalent of the Scopes monkey trial is occurring right now in California.
In homosexual California?
That slip of the tongue.
Well, it was appropriate. It's Freudian.
Basically, the equivalent of the Scopes monkey trial, but regarding homosexuality and homosexual marriage, is going on right now in California.
Right.
There's a huge show trial against Proposition 8, against making homosexual marriage illegal. And there was some testimony out there that I just need to get your opinion on.
All right. Okay. And Rick Warren filed an amicus brief.
Friend of the court?
On behalf of the homosexuals?
No.
Well,
he's a Christian Saddleback Church. He's a Christian
pastor. Yeah, but
he's
apologized for supporting Proposition 8, and he said he'll never do it again because he wants the homosexual lobby to look up to him. So destroying the basic truth that God made them male and female and that God established marriage between a man and a woman, he doesn't mind to destroy that in the mind of an entire generation as long as homosexuals will think he's a neat guy.
It's just bizarre.
It's called being a traitor to the gospel. It's called being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because God made us male and female.
What is the purpose of Rick Warren's purpose-driven life? Is it to destroy the word of God in the minds of a generation? Is that the purpose, Rick?
Become a billionaire through book sales.
Well, there's that, too. That's one of the side benefits. But let's get to the trial.
All right.
The Scopes homo trial.
Yeah.
I don't know what we could call it. The Badgett homo trial. Because there's a testimony by a person named Lee Badgett, who's an expert in statistics and sociology and things like that. She, in the trial, cited statistics from Massachusetts, oddly enough, that you were just talking about, where
Mitt Romney
homosexual marriage was established
single-handedly.
No, it was established by radical Democrat socialist progressive pinkos
in drag, dressed as Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney single-handedly instituted homosexual marriage in Massachusetts.
So it wasn't.
That's why Ann Coulter loves him.
Oh, hey, are you implying that Ann Coulter was a man at one point?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I just want to make that clear, but that's not the implication.
But
here.
I'd be hard-pressed to get the evidence against it. But no, I am not.
All right.
I even like her. She's funny. She's witty.
She is witty and somewhat intelligent, less than we might have thought, but somewhat. Yeah. Anyway, this expert says that since we can look at the data from Massachusetts, which allowed homosexuals to start marrying in 2004, she said that marriage and divorce rates for straight couples have not been affected. Number one, and she says, quote, I don't think we need to wait any longer to see what the impact will be. I think we know. Everything I've looked at leads me to the conclusion that regarding homosexual marriage, there is no impact. There is no. So
yeah.
Homosexual marriage, she says it's okay because it's not breaking up any straight marriages.
Right, right. And it's changing a fundamental, foundational moray of society. We now know with the tremendous 2020 vision from history in a few short years is it has no bad effect.
No bad effect.
Nothing.
Now listen to what the lawyers for Prop 8 are arguing, Bob. They spent several hours with this expert trying to demonstrate that traditional male-female marriages suffered after same-sex marriages became legal up in the Netherlands. So they're basically trying to argue, forget about the fact that marriage is a sacred institution established by God. They are not going to argue that.
And forget about God made us male and female and that homosexuality is immoral because God condemns it and because he made us male and female. So homosexuality is immoral and destructive.
Yes. So
that's the reason why.
But that's not what these lawyers are going
to
argue.
They're afraid to because those who promote these propositions typically are pro-homosexual. Mm. They believe homosexuality should be legal, like Focus on the Family.
Yeah.
Homosexuality should be legal, just not homosexual dental care. That's the only thing that we're gonna toe the line.
Well, Bob, with lawyers like this arguing against homosexual marriage, trying to base their condemnation of homosexual marriage
on what happens in the Netherlands
and in the heterosexual community, they're going to blow this trial. They're going to lose this trial.
Of course.
It's embarrassing.
I had the honor of performing a ceremony, a wedding, with a couple where the bride was from Holland.
Oh. For
the public school teachers out there, that means she's from the Netherlands. And she married my nephew, Brian Enyart Jr.
Okay.
And her name is Maxime. And Doug, Maxime, her comment at her wedding, it was such a beautiful wedding, outdoors, gorgeous. Her comment was that this was the first wedding she had ever seen in her life.
Oh, really?
They promote shacking up. They promote homosexuality. They promote homosexual marriage. And it's destroyed heterosexual marriage. It's true. That's not why homosexual marriage is wrong.
No, that's just a side effect that we want to point out.
All right. That's exactly
Come on out to the March for Life, Friday, January 22nd at the Capitol, noon.
And get your signatures in, your petitions, and bring them to the march or get them in as soon as you can at Colorado Right to Life and Maranatha. What a great school, kgov.com.